भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31. Narada instructs the Pruchetas. Text 17. Yatana basya pratama prakasha. Bhavanti bhupana bhavantyanukramat. Evam pare brahmani shaktayastvamu Rajastama satvamiti pravaha Yata As Nabasi In the sky Abara Clouds, tamaha, darkness, prakasha, and illumination, bhavanti, exist, bhupa, O kings, na bhavanti, do not appear, anukramat, consecutively, evam, thus, pare, supreme, brahmani, in the absolute, shaktaya, energies, to, then, amu, those, Raja, passion, tamaha, darkness, satvam, goodness, iti, thus, pravaha, emanation. Translation. My dear kings, sometimes in the sky there are clouds, sometimes there is darkness, and sometimes there is illumination. The appearance of all these takes place consecutively. Similarly, in the Supreme Absolute, the modes of passion, darkness, and goodness appear as consecutive energies. Sometimes they appear, and sometimes they disappear. Please repeat. My dear kings, sometimes in the sky there are clouds. Sometimes there is darkness. And sometimes there is illumination. The appearance of all these takes place consecutively. Similarly, in the Supreme Absolute, the modes of passion, darkness, and goodness appear as consecutive energies. Sometimes they appear, and sometimes they disappear. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Darkness, illumination, and clouds sometimes appear, and sometimes disappear. But even when they have disappeared, the potency is still there, always existing. In the sky, sometimes we see clouds, sometimes rainfall, and sometimes snow. Sometimes we see night, sometimes day, sometimes illumination, and sometimes darkness. All these exist due to the sun, but the sun is unaffected by all these changes. Similarly, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of the total cosmic manifestation, he is unaffected by the material existence. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Bhumir apo nalo vayu kammano buddhir eva cha ahankara ityam me vina prakritir ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. Although the material or physical elements are the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are separate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is therefore not affected by material conditions. The Vedanta Sutra confirms Janmadiyasyataha. The creation, maintenance, and dissolution of this cosmic manifestation are due to the existence of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, the Lord is unaffected by all these changes in the material elements. This is indicated by the word pravaha, emanation. The sun always shines brilliantly and is not affected by clouds or darkness. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always present in his spiritual energy and is not affected by the material emanations. Brahma Samhita 5.1 confirms Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. Although he is the supreme cause, the cause of all causes, he is still Parama, transcendental, and his form is Satchidananda, eternal spiritual bliss. Krishna is the shelter of everything, and this is the verdict of all scripture. Krishna is the remote cause, and the material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that understanding prakriti, or nature, to be the cause of everything is like understanding the nipples on the neck of a goat to be the cause of milk. Material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation, but the original cause is Narayan, Krishna. Sometimes people think that the cause of an earthen pot is the earth. We see on a potter's wheel a sufficient amount of earth to produce many pots. And although unintelligent men will say that the earth on the wheel is the cause of the pot, those who are actually advanced will find that the original cause is the potter who supplies the earth and moves the wheel. Material nature may be a helping factor in the creation of this cosmic manifestation, but it is not the ultimate cause. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:10, the Lord therefore says, Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and producing all moving and unmoving beings. The Supreme Lord casts his glance over material energy, and his glance agitates the three modes of nature. Creation then takes place. The conclusion is that nature is not the cause of the material manifestation. The Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. Translation again. My dear kings, sometimes in the sky there are clouds, sometimes there is darkness, and sometimes there is illumination. The appearance of all these takes place consecutively. Similarly, in the Supreme Absolute, the modes of passion, darkness, and goodness appear as consecutive energies. Sometimes they appear, and sometimes they disappear. Today's verse is a further elaboration on the previous verse, in which Narada confirms the essential philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, Achintya Veda Ved Tattva, that the Supreme Lord is inconceivably, simultaneously, one with and different from his energies. In the present verse, Narada explains that the various energies of the Lord are emanations from the Lord, and therefore the Lord is not affected by them. Just like the different, say the manifestation of clouds in the sky is ultimately due to the sun. But the sun is not affected by the presence of the clouds. The sun is always pure and bright. Our vision of the sun may be blocked by the clouds, but the sun itself is not affected by the clouds. Now, this understanding is very important for us as eternal servants of Krishna. Because in order for us to live properly in the world, we have to understand sambandha gyan. We have to understand the Supreme Lord, the material energy, the spiritual energy, and the interrelations among them. Otherwise, we will not know how to act properly in the world, and our life will become confused. everything we see is the energy of the Lord. This simple truth has very deep implications. Because if what we saw did not belong to the Lord, we, who have come into the material world to take the position of the Lord falsely, might think that this energy, that the material elements, that the objects of the senses, are meant for us to enjoy. And that is the mentality of most people in the material world. They are ignorant of their relationship with Krishna and the relationship of the material world to Krishna. And so they try to enjoy Krishna's energy. And in doing so, they become thieves, and they become punishable by the laws of nature, and they suffer. This is the case of, you know, 99% of the people in the world. Now, the other 1%, say, they also have a misconception. They understand that trying to enjoy matter leads to frustration and misery, and therefore they want to avoid interaction with the material energy. The first category are technically called karmis. They want to work and enjoy. And the other category are jnanis. They want to avoid interaction with the material world so that ultimately they can merge and become one with God. But neither category is properly situated, neither is peaceful. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakala ashanta, Krishna bhakta nishkam ata eva shanta. The karmis who desire bhukti, the jnanis who desire mukti, and the yogis who desire siddhis, sakala ashanta, none of them is peaceful, because they all have some selfish desire. Krishna bhakta, only devotees of Krishna, nishkam, have no selfish desires, ata eva shanta, and therefore they are peaceful. Yesterday, I mean, this temple is amazing. So many people come to this temple. We don't even know who comes and goes. So many people come. But anyway, after the class last night, I stayed in the temple until the last aarti, and the doors closed and the lights were dimmed. And two young Indian men approached me, and the one said that today is my birthday. We came specially today because today is my birthday, and I want blessings. So usually when people approach me and ask for blessings, I ask them, what kind of blessings do you want? So he wasn't very clear. He paused a few moments, and then he said, peace.
I want peace. So that's good. People are disturbed in the material world. They see the temple as a place where they can get peace. But not the artificial peace of the impersonalists, but real peace, which comes from being properly established in our relationship with Krishna, the eternal servants of Krishna. So, I also like to meet people here because I feel confident that I can invite them to come to the temple, to the Sunday program, and get association and learn. So I asked, you know, where do you stay? And they're students, they recently came from India, they feel homesick, and I guess they come from religious families. So the birthday boy was saying that, you know, in his house there was always some puja, some worship, some spiritual activity, and now he's come to study and there's nothing, and he misses the spiritual atmosphere. So I asked, you know, what time did you get here? I was wanted to know if they'd attended the Sunday program. They said, we just walked in. We've never been here before. It's the first time. I told them about the Sunday program. Fortunately, there was still some prasad left. I arranged for a devotee to take them to the prasadam hall. So peace. That, he wanted the blessing to become peaceful. But everyone wants peace. Everyone wants peace. Even the karmis want peace. As Srila Prabhupada says, they work so hard during the week to make money, but even they need a break. So on the weekend they want to go away. Go on some holiday, get some relief from all that agitation of the motive passion. And then they come back again. And to get relief from the disturbance of the motive passion, one can either sink down into ignorance, like some people, they want relief from their passionate activity, so they get drunk. New Year's Eve, the prime occupation. Getting drunk. Or they can try to come up to the mode of goodness. It's like the clouds. They don't like the clouds. The clouds here are compared to the mode of passion. So, okay, one alternative is you go into complete darkness. The other is you go into the light, and that's our process. Krishna Surya, Krishna is like the sun, Maya Haya Andhakara, Maya is like darkness. When you come into the light of Krishna consciousness, there's no darkness. So, this energy is Krishna's. Both the inferior energy, the eight elements, and the living entities. You and me and everyone else. We're also Krishna's energy. And we are meant to be engaged in Krishna's service. And this is the basis of Bhakti Yoga. This is the basis of the Sankirtan movement. As Prahlad Maharaj says, prayena munaya svavimukti kama, that most sages are just interested in their own liberation. And therefore they don't, they go to forests and mountains, vimukti kama, because they desire to become liberated. They want to stay away from the cities and towns. But Prahlad Maharaj says, but I'm not like that. I don't want to go back home, back to Godhead alone, but I want to take as many people with me as I can. And that was Srila Prabhupada's movement. And therefore we don't want to be thieves, we don't want to steal Krishna's property, but we also don't want to be false renouncers, renounce something that doesn't belong to us. Like Srila Prabhupada said, if someone goes into the Bank of America and announces, I renounce this all. What is that meaning of renunciation? It doesn't belong to you. How can you renounce it? So we don't renounce it. And if we go into Bank of America and say, this is all mine, I want it, so give it to me right now, that's also not going to help us. So this is our position, that we see everything as Krishna's energy and want to use it in Krishna's service, because everything emanates from Krishna. Now, this idea of the cause of all causes, just in ordinary terms, my cause is my parents, say my father. He injected the seed that contained that living entity in the womb of my mother. So say my father, then his cause is his father, and his cause is his father. And you go all the way back, who's the original cause? Krishna. I mean, in this material universe, it's Brahma. But even Brahma has a cause, and that is Krishna. So on one morning walk, during a rare visit to Los Angeles when I was based in India, during Srila Prabhupada's presence, we went to Cheviot Hills Park. And Prabhupada was discussing the point that Krishna is the cause of all causes. So I asked the question on behalf of others who had asked me, like, okay, we say that, you know, Krishna is the cause of all causes, but who is the cause of Krishna? What is the cause of Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada gave such a brilliant reply. He said, according to our information, Krishna is the original cause of all causes. But still, if you can find someone or something that's the cause of Krishna, we will worship that thing. But in the meantime, until you trace out that cause of Krishna, you should worship Krishna. Now sometimes, I mean, yes, that one level is to engage everything in Krishna's service. Another level, that's with the senses. Another level is with the mind, to always remember Krishna. That's the basic principle of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And if we see everything as Krishna's energy, then naturally we'll remember Krishna. Once we were walking with Srila Prabhupada on Juhu Beach, and he pointed to the ocean, and he said, what is this? So one disciple said, it's the Arabian Sea, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes. I know it's the Arabian Sea. But philosophically, what is it? And a disciple said, well, it's Krishna. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you know, bodies of water on the ocean. Prabhupada said, no, that is not scientific. I want to know scientifically, what is this? And finally, one disciple said, it's the energy of Krishna. Prabhupada said, yes, that is the correct answer. Now, as we develop love for Krishna, seeing Krishna's energy will remind us of Krishna. And that's the perfection of Krishna consciousness, to see Krishna everywhere. Now that we see Krishna in his threefold bending form, which would be nice, but we see everything as Krishna's energy, and therefore it reminds us of Krishna, and in that way we see Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that people go to an art museum and they'll point at a painting, that's a Picasso. They're seeing the painting, but they're not just seeing the painting, they're seeing the artist. Oh, that's a Rembrandt. They're seeing Rembrandt, not just seeing the paint on the canvas. They're seeing the artist. Another example that Srila Prabhupada gave is like a child will leave home, or God forbid, say die. The child will die. And the parents will see the child's boots or the child's hat, and they'll see the child, they'll remember the child, they'll feel emotion. Oh, we feel like that, devotees feel like that. Lord Chaitanya had a devotee who was a physician, Murari Gupta. He was the physician of the Muslim ruler. And he was with the king on an elevated platform, and he saw a peacock. That peacock reminded him of Vrindavan and Krishna. And thinking of Krishna, he felt so much ecstasy that he began to tremble. He eventually, like, fainted. He fell from that platform, fainted. So the king asked him what happened. So this is a very confidential spiritual reaction or emotion. So he said he's subject to these fits. But actually it was transcendental ecstasy. And the king knew it. The king knew it. So it wasn't just a peacock, but that peacock reminded him of Vrindavan and Krishna. And so he felt ecstasy. But whatever we see can remind us of Krishna. And as our hearts soften, as we become more open to Krishna, as we have more appreciation for Krishna, more gratitude to Krishna, then we see that all this energy is sustaining our lives. If it weren't for the earth, we wouldn't have food. If it weren't for water, we wouldn't be able to drink. If it weren't for the air, we wouldn't be able to breathe. Our very lives in these bodies are sustained by these gifts of Krishna. And so whatever we see, we should appreciate as the energy of Krishna, as the mercy of Krishna. Rasoham apsokonteya. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. Srila Prabhupada has translated it also as the taste in liquid things. He said, even if you're a drunk and you're imbibing liquor, you can think that the taste of this liquor is Krishna. And Prabhupada said, eventually by that thinking, even a drunk can become a devotee. But still, there is a distinction among Krishna's energy, the external energy, the marginal potency, and the internal potency. And there, and we have to be aware of the distinction and really spend time with Krishna in the internal energy. That will give us spiritual strength. Otherwise, because of being conditioned since time immemorial, when we come in touch with the material energy, that's enjoying spirit can come and we can forget Krishna. Even on Sankirtan, even on book distribution. So we need to have that, you know, spend time directly with Krishna, especially in the process of hearing and chanting. The last time I visited New Dwarka, I had a very illuminating discussion with our illustrious temple president, Sovasadasa. Sovas Prabhu, I hope he won't mind my disclosing this fact if it's not already known. Sovas Prabhu gets up every morning at about 2:30, and he chants all of his rounds before Mangal Arti, because the chanting of 16 rounds with focus, with attention, means with the effort to be attentive to every mantra, every syllable of every mantra, is our essential spiritual practice. We discussed that always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That's the base. Those are the basic. Always remember Krishna, that's the basic injunction. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna, that's the basic prohibition. And all other injunctions and prohibitions are servants of these two. And commenting on this verse, Srila Prabhupada says that of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's instruction to chant 16 rounds daily is most essential. We engage in other activities that are also meant to remind us of Krishna. We distribute books and we enroll life members. But if we don't chant 16 rounds daily, it will be very hard to remember Krishna. Even when we engage in activities that are meant to remind us of Krishna. And Sovas Prabhu and many others, of course temple president is a unique category, temple president has so much responsibility, especially a big project like the Dwarka, a big community. And so he's afraid that something might come up. Even between Mangal Aarti and deity greeting, something might come up. If he hasn't finished his 16 rounds before Mangal Aarti, and if by chance something comes up that will engage him, he knows, because the rest of the day is so filled with service, he knows that he could have to struggle to find the time to finish his 16 rounds. And he just doesn't want to take any chances. He chants them all before Mangal Aarti. Now this is very significant. This is very significant. Because to get the strength to deal with the material world, with the material energy, we need to have that quality time with Krishna. Our japa is our time with Krishna. There should be nothing else happening when we chant our rounds, because that's our time with Krishna. And it's our prayer to Krishna. Please, Hare refers to Radharani, and Krishna refers to Krishna. O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. So it's like going for a job interview. If you go for a job interview and you're sitting across from the proprietor of the company, and you're eyes are like wandering all over, looking at the walls, seeing if there's any dust anywhere. Just not going to be very impressed. Or if you're dozing off, go for your interview. Maybe you're chanting a japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. If you start dozing off in your job interview, do you think the proprietor is going to hire you? Or if Hare Krishna, in the meantime, sort of checking the email, devotees can become very expert with their left hands. They keep their right hand in their bead bag, and with their left hand they can be, wiping the counter, checking their email, using the remote. Really, really become quite expert at using their left hands. So that's not how to chant japa. That's not how to, if you go for a job interview, you pull out your some smart phone and start checking your email or checking the weather report or the stock market. You'll never be hired. So it really is a matter of sincerity. It's not just externally going through the motions of chanting our rounds or externally going through the motions of doing anything in devotional service. It's a matter of the consciousness, the sincerity. It's a matter of the sincerity. And that depends on us. That depends on us. Once Srila Prabhupada, detected some deviation in some disciples. So on a morning walk, he was asking some of the leaders, what to do, why and what to do. So one said, we have to educate them more what the proper standard is. Prabhupada said, yes, but they know what the standard is. And then one of the other ones said, we have to supervise them more closely. And Prabhupada said, yes, you can supervise them more closely, but still they can cheat. And he gave the example of drinking water underwater on a fast day. That in India, okay, it's a fast day, don't even drink water, a strict fast, but still the brahmachari or whoever, they can go to the river to take bath, and then they dip under the water, and while they're under the water, they drink, and no one can see them. It looks like they're just taking a holy bath, taking a holy dip. So that's called cheating by the method of drinking water underwater on a fast day. Prabhupada said if they want to cheat, they can always cheat, no matter how you supervise them. He said the only thing that will work is their individual personal sincerity. Nothing else will work. You can give them all the good instruction. Of course, we do that. It's our duty. And devotees need to be reminded. And we do supervise them to some extent. That's part of the value of the association of devotees. There's people watching us. But even then, they can, if they want to, they can cheat. So it really comes to our personal sincerity. And we, you know, if we try to cheat Krishna, we're really cheating ourselves. I mean, Krishna's not going to lose personally if we try to cheat him. But we're cheating ourselves. Because we can't cheat Krishna anyway. Krishna sees everything. Krishna knows everything. You know, he knows what you're thinking. That's also a good thought for us, that Krishna knows what we're doing. Krishna knows what we're saying. Krishna knows what we're speaking. You know, even if we think we're alone in the room, the shades are drawn and the door is locked and nobody will know what we're doing, but Krishna's there. He's in your heart. He's in every atom and between the atoms. He's everywhere. We can't cheat Krishna. We can't cheat Krishna. And we are held accountable for whatever we do. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. He sees everything. He hears everything. He knows everything. And he holds us accountable for what we do. So, from any point of view, it is in our interest to come clean. The other day I happened to come across, I had kept it, the last recorded little talk, not even, just a few words of His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj in Mayapur. And you know, it was just a few sentences. He wasn't very well then, but at the end he repeated three times, no duplicity, no duplicity, no duplicity. Like Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is easy for the simple, but difficult for the crooked. Of course, every conditioned soul has that cheating propensity, but we have to try to overcome it, become free from it. And just, you know, chant those rounds sincerely, and then whatever we do, do it sincerely. And the internet has made it so easy to cheat. In the old days, if you wanted to read some nonsense, you could get caught with a book or a magazine. But with the internet now, there's all sorts of stuff out there. And, you know, nobody knows. For all they know, you're reading the Bhagavad Gita. And it could be something completely different. This temple is so amazing. I mean, the people who come in. Another young man approached me yesterday. He was desperate. That's actually a good position to take to Krishna. He was desperate because he's convinced, and it could be true, he's convinced that someone is working black magic on him, and that it could completely devastate him. It's true. It could happen. And if it's not black magic, it could be something else. So I said, well, you know, you have to chant Hare Krishna mantra. And then said, is there anything else? He's like, really does it well. Before you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you chant the Panchatattva mantra. Okay? Is there anything else? So then I said, well, you can chant the Nisringa prayers. We got one of those beautiful little temple prayer books for him. He said, is there anything else? I said, are you vegetarian? He said, yes, I've become vegetarian. I said, okay, well, you know, you should offer your food to Krishna. You know, the book will explain how you offer your food to Krishna. He said, okay. So I said, you know, black magic can affect someone who's spiritually weak. So the basic idea is to become spiritually strong. But even if you're weak, if you chant the holy name will ward off, you know, any evil spirit. So just, he said, like, when should I chant? Just chant all the time. Chant all the time. Okay, got it all. So then at the end, he wanted to make sure he got it right. And he'd been here before. He'd picked up a little. So he repeated it all. You know, be vegetarian, chant, and, you know, all the different things. And then he said, and no nude movies. I said, oh my God. What a world we're living in. Like, nude movies. I didn't even know that was an option for a normal person. So at the end of the list, he says, no nude movies. Do I have it right? Yeah, yes, you do. You do. I mean, it's like, and I'm sure that's all on the internet. Anyway, so I'm really preaching to myself. It might come out like I'm instructing you. I'm really preaching to myself. To be sincere, not to be duplicitous, not to try to cheat others, or which really means trying to cheat Krishna, which really means cheating myself, but to be simple, honest, real devotee or aspiring devotee. Aspiring servant of the servants of the devotees. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. What is your name?
Nityananda Das.
Wonderful. Yes, a true devotee will see his worshipable deity everywhere. That's what we've been discussing. And he will see his main deity. We're talking about you can see Krishna even, you know, you see Krishna in the earth, you see Krishna in the water, you see Krishna in the air, Krishna everywhere. So what to speak of a direct manifestation of Krishna, or one's Ishtadeva. So, say a devotee of Krishna, he'll see Lord Ramchandra. He'll see, oh, this is my Krishna in the form of Lord Ram, you know, as the ideal king. It's Krishna, but he's in that form. And it can work the other way as well. Like Murari Gupta, he saw Lord Chaitanya as Lord Ram. And Ramananda Rai, he saw Lord Chaitanya as Radha and Krishna. Murari Gupta, he saw Lord Chaitanya as his worshipable Lord Ram. So, yeah, one can... Have you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Yeah, it's a wonderful book. I highly recommend it. It's really such a credit to Srila Prabhupada at the BBT. But the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita recounts the spiritual journey of Gopakumar, and he was actually born at Govardhan. But he went to Mathura, then Jagannath Puri, then he started going up through the different planets in the universe, and ultimately Brahmaloka, then past Brahmaloka to Shivaloka, then Vaikuntha planets. He spent time worshipping Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. He went to Ayodhya in the spiritual world. He worshipped Lord Ram in Ayodhya. And ultimately came to Dwarka. And wherever he was, he felt ecstasy. He felt ecstasy. He felt love. And he felt, I could just spend my whole life here, serving Lord Jagannath. Of course, Lord Jagannath is Krishna, but I could spend my whole life here serving Lord Narayan. I could serve my whole life serving Lord Ram. I could spend my whole life serving Dwarkadish. But ultimately, because his eternal relationship was with Krishna in Vrindavan, he felt a little, eventually, after a long time, he'd feel a little restlessness, that he was missing his Gopal. So finally, when he was in Dwarka, Uddhava and Narada, they could detect that there was something in Gopakumar. He wasn't completely satisfied. But everyone was completely in the mood of serving Dwarkadish. Of course, so it was like, how could he even say that he was dissatisfied? And he wasn't really dissatisfied, but still there was something. So they detected it and they approached him. And they said, we're noticing something in you. And then he admitted, yes, I'm feeling restless because I'm missing my Gopal. So Narada said, you should go to the planet of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath has his own planet in the spiritual sky. And the special feature of Lord Jagannath is that he will manifest himself in the form as desired by the worshipper, or the devotee. For Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he manifested himself as Shamsundar. And actually he is Shamsundar, Krishna. But he will manifest himself in whatever form the devotee wants. Sometimes you'll see pictures of Lord Jagannath with an elephant's trunk, like he's dressed as Ganesh. He does even that. There's a famous story that one devotee of Ganesh, very simple devotee, very sincere devotee, he went to Puri to see Daru Brahma, but he was looking for Ganesh, because his worshipable deity was Ganesh, and he saw Jagannath, he didn't see Ganesh. So he felt disappointed, what happened here? But Lord Jagannath knew his heart, and later he appeared to him as Ganesh. It was on the occasion of the Snan Yatra. So ever since then, after Snan Yatra, the pujaris decorate Lord Jagannath in Hathi Vesh, an elephant trunk. So even the demigods are included in Lord Jagannath. So anyway, so they said you go to... Narada said, you go to the planet of Lord Jagannath in the spiritual world, and he will manifest himself to you as Gopal, and all of your desires will be fulfilled. So then, Uddhava said that what Narada said is absolutely right. I agree completely with what he said. But there's another alternative. And that is that you can go back to Boma Vrindavan, Vrindavan on earth, and worship Krishna in Boma Vrindavan. Worship Gopal in Boma Vrindavan in the mood of separation. And the mood of separation will bring you to that intense ecstatic love for Krishna more quickly even than worshipping Lord Jagannath. So go to Boma Vrindavan and worship Krishna, and when that your eagerness in separation, your eagerness becomes so intense, you will enter Goloka Vrindavan in your eternal relationship with Krishna.
Shouldn't there be more of an investment in places where people can be sent so that at the very least they can hear the holy name and be looked after by the devotees who can provide them with the opportunity to hear?
Well, that is a very nice thought. It is a very nice thought. There's two elements to it. First, it's true. It could happen that we come to the stage where we can't chant. Even some of our contemporaries temporarily have had trouble with their voices. You know, after whatever, so many years of singing and speaking. And so, yeah, so then they listen to tapes of japa. Listen to tapes of japa. The other element is there to take care of devotees. That's very important. And that is something that we're working on. We need to work on it more, but that is very important. That's very important because we give our lives to Krishna. And you know, Krishna says, if you surrender to me, I will take care of you. That part of surrender means that you have faith that Krishna will take care of you. And Krishna will. But we, as servants of Krishna, will want to do that service on behalf of Krishna. Someone has surrendered to Krishna, someone surrendered to Prabhupada. So as servants of Krishna, servants of Prabhupada, we want to take care of them. So that requires effort, intelligence, resources. Of course, we can also do whatever we can as individuals. It's good you brought up that point. Because if devotees are confident that they'll be looked after in their old age or in their disabled condition, then they will feel that they can, you know, give themselves more fully. But ISKCON is such a young movement. I mean, these things, I mean, I'm not much of a student of the history of religions, but what I've heard from devotees who are, these things can take generations to really properly establish. And what they say is, compared to other religions, of course Krishna consciousness isn't really a religion, but it resembles a religion, we're doing pretty well. We're doing pretty well. But I'm glad you brought up that point. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Prema Nandini.